Russia and the West edge closer on Syria, and the Collective Security Treaty Organization gathers in Russia. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, author of the Power Vertical blog here at RFRL, and joining me is senior RFRL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
So the UN Security Council on Friday passed a resolution endorsing an international roadmap for resolving the Syria conflict. It's the latest sign that Russia and the West are moving towards, if not common positions, at least possibly compatible positions. Is this your understanding, Steve? And if so, where do we go from here?
Well, yes. I think they're moving toward at least positions that could potentially produce a peace deal and a transition. And essentially, they've done this by not mentioning President Bashar al-Assad in the resolution. And also, they still have disagreements, serious disagreements over who can be involved, which rebel groups can be involved in the process. So, I mean, one of the big things to watch will be is Russia ready for a transition away from Assad, and is Iran ready? And you see different views on this. Some reports citing diplomats at the UN saying Russia's telling the West behind closed doors that, yes, we're ready to see Assad go, and that doesn't contradict their all they've really said is we can't allow Assad to be pushed out. His exit can't be a precondition for talks. So there are reports that Russia's saying it's ready to see Assad go after or during or after a peace process. Other people say no, Russia's just bluffing. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I never thought that Russia was so wedded to Assad per se. I think what they didn't want to happen was the collapse of the Syrian state entirely. And that is much because Iran would continue to have its influence, because it tends to operate through these militias in the area, where Russia's always been tied very closely to the Syrian state. So I think Russia's main objective here is keeping a state in place, and one in which they will be able to influence, presumably through these negotiations. We're talking about a 2-year timeline here to new elections, a ceasefire followed by negotiations in a month's time. They're supposed to report back to the Security Council about how a ceasefire is going to be monitored. So I think I've noticed a kind of convergence on Moscow and the West's rhetoric on Assad of late as well. But the real trick is going to come is what kind of state is ultimately going to emerge here at the end of these negotiations, and is it going to be one that's going to be to Moscow's liking? So there's still a lot of room for battles there.
Right, and I think they're going to. I mean, I think Russia certainly likes in the past during the Syrian war, it's played for time many times, and I think Russia will continue to do that. And as you say, see whether it looks like they're going to get a government, a state that they can be pleased with or accept. So obviously there's a long time to go, but I think in general, I think you're right. They're not as wedded to Assad as some people maybe portray Russia as being. I think they would be ready to see him go, but as you say, it's a matter of what comes in place. And you see Russia definitely not going anywhere. I mean, they're in Syria. They're doing these airstrikes. There are reports today and yesterday that Russian airstrike killed dozens of people in Idlib. And now Putin also said that we've got other weapons, other military capabilities we can use, and we'll use them if we have to. So I think that's sort of a way of Russia saying, we said we wouldn't send in ground troops at the moment. We may still do it in the future. I think basically it's a way for Putin to say, we're in there, we'll do what it takes to essentially keep ourselves in there.
Now, and this also comes as there's been a noticeable ratcheting down of the anti-Western rhetoric coming out of Moscow. It was almost absent in Putin's big press conference last week. Putin's comments over the weekend that he can easily work with the U.S. You had Kerry's trip to Moscow, of course, last week. And then you have the French defense minister in Moscow as we speak. Do you see a general rapprochement coming here out of this? Or can this be compartmentalized and isolated just to the Syrian crisis?
Well, I think on Russia's part, it's an attempt to at least create the conditions for rapprochement, and also what it can't hurt Russia now to be nicer to the West. They've got Turkey to criticize. That way they can, as Putin did in his press conference, criticize Turkey a lot, but not mention the West. Maybe Russians won't notice that he changed his tone. So I think Russia's in Russia's interest now, both for the situation in Syria and also Ukraine and sanctions, to make nicer with the West. But I don't see that developing into, well, I'd say, if there's a sort of progress on Syria, that will improve relations between Russia and the West, but that doesn't mean things are going to change vis-a-vis Ukraine.
I have a hard time seeing a general rapprochement just because so many lines were crossed in Ukraine that I just don't see how you could walk that back. And so I have a hard time seeing this. I think governments, as I've always said, are very good at compartmentalizing these issues, and I'm expecting the Syria and the Ukraine dynamic to play along different tracks. Yeah. You mentioned Turkey. That's an interesting thing to segue into another hot topic. The CSTO summit is meeting this week in Russia, and it'll be interesting to watch this year, largely due to some schisms I see opening up between Russia and other members. You mentioned Turkey, and that's going to be one where there's going to be some serious schisms because, for example, Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan are not so keen on joining in with Russia's kind of conflict with Turkey right now. You're not going to see a lot of solidarity around Moscow in this grouping. Belarus continues to resist Russia's efforts to build a new military base in the territory of its country, and that's sure to be a contentious issue. What are you watching for as this summit takes place?
Yeah, I think we're going to see more. It's always been somewhat of a kind of on paper group, but I think we are going to see more tension. Obviously, it rarely bubbles over, except occasionally in the case of Putin and Lukashenko, maybe. But more tension between Russia and the other members. I mean, I saw Nazarbayev. Putin will meet separately with Nazarbayev and the Kyrgyz president today on the sidelines of the summit. And you got to wonder what they're talking about. As you say, I mean, they've made some noises. These are Turkic speaking countries. They're in a tough position, and it's not like, I mean, another thing is also trade. I mean, I think these countries are finding, what are the advantages to being in,
the Eurasian Economic Union is meeting simultaneously.
Exactly. I'm sorry, but. And I see that Nazarbayev has mentioned at the opening of these meetings that we need to talk about our trade, in the context of the Pacific Trade Partnership and others. So I think that's a sign that the Central Asian countries are saying, well, to Russia and to Putin, please show us the advantages, of these groupings, because we're being associated with you. You're not popular internationally now, and what do we get out of this?
Yeah, and for a lot of them, maybe the new Silk Road project looks a lot more attractive than anything Russia's offering. Kazakhstan, in particular. I mean, this is something I'm always going to be keeping an eye on, because I see a day when Kazakhstan really could turn to be as dominant a player in these groupings as Russia is. Nazarbayev is a very skilled statesman, and he's very good at playing with China, playing with the West, playing with Russia, playing with the Middle East. And I see a situation where. Russia might not be the undisputed top dog in this organization at some point in the near future. No?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, you see, it was Nazarbayev who, at least on the surface, came up with the idea or proposed the Eurasian Economic Union. So, sometimes people see this as 100% as Russia and Putin, trying to do its thing in the former Soviet republics. But these countries also have their own interests, and they can use this group to further them. So, yeah, it's not a one-way street.
Yeah, and, and Kazakhstan's certainly one that's going to be quite skilled at that. All right, well, that's all we have time for today. We'll just wrap it up. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast. Joining me has been senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.